Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. 800-531-3815. Toll free coast to coast. I'm excited about Richard DeKayser being back on the show. He's one of our stalwart members of our Brain Trust. He's the Senior Vice President and Chief Economist with National City Bank. And he's now in, he's currently on a little vacation in Duck, North Carolina. Richard, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. How is Duck, North Carolina?
It's a spectacular place. The scenery is wonderful. Unfortunately, though, I think I arrived with the worst possible weather conditions, so it's been gray and overcast.
Oh, man.
So far, every day.
Well, I'm going to try to send some sunshine on over your way. Richard,
okay.
I'll take care of that when I get off the air.
Well, I got some people with me who are helping.
Okay, so Duck, North Carolina, is it part of the Outer Banks, right?
It is. It is part of the Outer Banks, part of the northern part of the Outer Banks.
Folks, this is an example. What Richard's doing right now is an example of the very best of our Brain Trust. I mean, the guy's on vacation, and yet when he had a chance to talk to you and to share some ideas with you to help you with your business, he says, you know what, I'll take a half an hour out and do that. And Richard, on behalf of my audience, we thank you.
I'm very glad to do it.
Yeah. Richard, as you know, and as I mentioned earlier, the Federal Open Market Committee, which is the muzzle end of the Fed, I guess we could say,
uh-huh,
is group of 19, when they're at full capacity, 19 individuals who get together every 6 to 8 weeks or so to talk about the economy, to share some ideas. These are all the Fed governors, the chairman, the vice chairman, and the 12 bank presidents are all there when they're in full complement. And so they're going to meet today, and they're going to talk about the economy. What are they going to say?
Well, I think what they're seeing now is what they've anticipated for several months, that is an economy which is showing some pickup after the war and all the related uncertainties. So I think they're going to try and assess the strength of that pickup and how enduring they expect it to be. I think they're also going to talk about, of course, interest rates and whether they think they need to take any actions to either support that growth going forward or let it ride on its own. So that's where the discussion is going to be. There's going to, of course, be all these uncertainties related to events overseas, which is always a consideration, but something which is generally secondary in their list of concerns. So I think they'll, and afterwards it's important to note that they are going to convey a message to us all. That is, they give us about five or six sentences which tries to present a succinct synopsis of what they think is going on with the economy, and we'll see that later today, probably around 2:15 in the afternoon. My guess is what they're going to tell us is that economic growth is improving, and they'll probably cite various factors, improved productivity growth, fiscal policy, that is the tax cuts that we came into in recent months. But I think their big concern is they don't want to provide too much optimism, because the risk in that is that the bond market will think that the Fed's going to raise interest rates sometime soon, and that would cause long-term interest rates to rise, which could thwart their efforts.
Hasn't some of that danger already happened? I've been reading several people have been saying some pretty nasty things about Mr. Greenspan's ability to lead these days. I don't know if you've seen any of those since you've been on vacation or not.
Well, I have.
His credibility has been coming into play. Has been questioned, I guess I should say.
Lately. Well, there's a lot of so-called Fed watchers like myself who are a little bit irritated with something that the Fed has embarked on in recent months, which is really a little bit new. That is to say, they've come to discover that they can actually influence the direction of interest rates with words rather than deeds. That is, by conveying an impression as to what their intentions are, that interest rates will move accordingly. And the frustration here is that, of course, you never know what they're going to say precisely, so for people who are trying to predict the outcomes, it becomes a real nightmare. The preference would, of course, be just to tell us what their objectives are and then let us try and assess the economy's performance relative to those objectives.
Mm-hmm.
So I think maybe it's been a little bit of an experiment. Maybe it hasn't gone as well as they would have liked, and I think they're probably going to try and curtail that going forward, in part because of the criticism and in part because it hasn't worked too well. Let me give you just a couple quick examples. Back in May, when they tried to signal to us that they might cut interest rates again, they did this by referring to an unwelcome drop in inflation prospectively. Interest rates plummeted. The yield on the 10-year Treasury bond went from about 4% down to 3.1, a 40-year low. And that was, of course, good. It kicked off home purchases. Mortgage refinance activity was very supportive to the economy. Then when they came back in June and hiked and cut interest rates, as they intimated they would, they talked about improving economic conditions, and we saw over a 1 percentage point rise in the bond rate. So I don't think they want to see that kind of volatility, and they're going to try and moderate their comments accordingly.
Yeah, and they've taken some heat over that, too. When we come back, we're going to talk some more about this, especially what all this means for you and me and our small businesses. Tony Till, stay with us. Back at 17 Till, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Richard DeKayser is our guest. He's our good friend and a longtime member of our Brain Trust, Senior Vice President and Chief Economist with National City Bank. Richard, all that talk about what the Fed did with regard to the bond market and how the bond market reacted, I know one of the things the bond market was upset about was that the Fed only cut rates by a quarter of a point. They were looking for a half a point. And so they actually went the opposite way in their activity, and some people have said that created a significant drop in confidence in the central bank, especially in Mr. Greenspan. But here's what I want to ask you, in as much of a nutshell as you can, what does all that mean for a small business?
Well, you mean the move in interest rates.
Well, or just the events you talked about, the bond market. How does the bond market moving up or down affect small business?
Well, you know, people who are looking at basically, if you want to simplify things, there's two ways to finance a company: short term and long term borrowing. Typically, firms will use short term borrowing for things that are short term in nature, like financing working capital, inventories, and the like. And they'll use long term interest rates for long term financing, like capital expansion and the like. Now, what we're seeing now, first of all, let me emphasize, is very low short-term and long-term interest rates. I talked about the move up in long-term interest rates over the past 8 weeks or so. They are still at, you know, very low levels, not quite the 40-year lows we saw back in May, but we're at levels that would be far below the averages of the 90s or the 80s. So they're not high. But when trying to consider, as businesses do, what type of financing to use, short-term or long-term, today's environment presents a really very attractive opportunity, because if they believe that the economy is going to improve, and by the way, I would endorse that belief very strongly, but if they believe that that's going to happen, the present interest rate environment provides an opportunity to try and lock in these still relatively low long-term interest rates by financing out the curve, that is, using longer-term interest rates, so going for a five-year term loan, so that they can lock in these rates, and in the event 1 or 2 years out that short-term interest rates move up dramatically, they've locked in these low costs and are able to enjoy that benefit for years to come.
Or especially if they can refinance their business property.
Oh, absolutely! If there's
try to get a 15-year loan. Of course, a lot of these loans, a lot of times businesses aren't able to get a fixed 15-year loan on real estate. Sometimes they are through their local bank, but you should be able to get at least no less than a 5-year balloon on that, shouldn't you?
That's right. And to the extent there's existing debt out there, refinancing it at this time is still probably very attractive. Of course, it would have been better to do it 6 weeks ago, but you can't think that way.
But the
way.
Difference is just incremental. I mean, it's very small, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
And also, bringing up the topic of small businesses, a lot of small businesses, of course, have to finance their operations with personal funding, and a huge opportunity has been presented by home equity loan opportunities. Right. So there's people who have been trying to tap some of the equity built up in their property prices. You know, property prices have been generally moving up quite nicely in recent years, creating equity that can be tapped and can be tapped at very low and tax-advantaged interest rates.
Right.
So small business people who need the dough and are looking for a place to find it, have this vehicle, which has been very popular and understandably so in years, in recent years.
So, in the meeting today, you and I are looking into our crystal ball. Yours is a lot clearer than mine is. Mine's got a little haze over it, but we're looking at our crystal balls and we're imagining what the Fed's gonna be talking about today. They all get to stand up. All 19 people, folks, stand up. According to Bob McTeer, who's one of our Brain Trust members, who's in the meeting today. He's the president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. He told us on the show before that they all stand up and say what they think about the economy and what they think should be done, even if they don't get to vote. Only five of the 12 governors vote in any given year. Bank presidents vote in any given year. So whether they get to vote or not, they stand up and say what they think is going to happen. What do you think is going to be the preponderance of opinions?
I think the preponderance of opinion has been to recognize that things are improving, but there's going to be some skepticism. That is, there's a little residual worry, I think, that we have seen some improvement over the past 3 months, but it hasn't been complete. To be more specific, the labor market is still very soft. There has not been a lot of hiring going on. That seems to be reflective of some residual anxiety amongst businesses. After all, over the past couple of years, we've had been shocked many times by unforeseen events out of left field, whether it be 9/11, corporate governance scandals, the Iraq War. Mm-hmm. I think, understandably, then a lot of CEOs are just being very cautious. So I think to the extent that there's worries about the future, and I don't think that will be the dominant theme, but I think it will be part of their discussion, to the extent there are these worries, I think they're going to be looking specifically in that area, waiting for hiring to pick up, because that does provide evidence then, when that does occur, of sustainable economic growth. And in fact, they used that exact word at their last meeting. Evidence of sustainable economic growth mm-hmm. was not yet in hand, and that means that they're going to continue to wait for that evidence to be available.
And I took that to mean that the economy is getting better, it's not well yet, it's still a little sick, and a little bit of a sniffle could set us back.
I think that's exactly the right way to interpret it.
Yeah, and so when they feel like they put the stethoscope on the economy's chest and they hear a clear lungs and a good strong heartbeat, maybe not to the point where we could run a marathon, but certainly where if we catch any kind of a little cold, it won't set us back, or at least send us in the other direction, then that's what they're looking for. And they're not, as you say, they're not hearing that right now. They're still hearing a little bit of a rattle in the lungs of the economy. Stand by, Richard. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Richard DeKayser is our guest. We're back at 7 till. Richard DeKayser is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Richard is with National City Bank. That's nationalcity.com. Is that right, Richard?
That's exactly correct. We stretch from basically Pittsburgh to Chicago and from the northern reaches of Michigan down to Kentucky.
All right. And that's nationalcity.com. And that's, what do you got, about 1,300 banks around the area there?
That's right. 1,300 branches. Up to 2,000 ATMs, so we're ubiquitous throughout the industrial Midwest, and for many other businesses like home equity lending, mortgage lending, other consumer lending.
A lot of SBA loans, I know. I know you guys are one of the biggest SBA lenders in the country.
Oh, absolutely,
Working with small business owners to get those, to help them with the SBA guaranteed loans.
That's right, number one in Ohio, yeah. Indiana, and Kentucky, and way up there with the Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Illinois.
Appreciate the good work you're doing there, Richard. Let's get the prediction out of the way now. The Fed funds rate. Thank you for that. The Fed funds rate is now at 1%. Recently cut in the last meeting to 1 from 1.25.
Correct.
They've still got a whole percent to go. That's maybe four cuts that they could make, but they don't have a lot of wiggle room left, I should say. And basically, since we think that they're hearing positive signs and they're hearing more positive maybe than negative, I'm going to say that they're going to leave the rates like they are.
No, I absolutely agree with you, Jim. I think for a couple of reasons. Number one, just the facts support that course of action. That is, your take on the economy is precisely correct. More good news than bad, and that's not the sort of thing that motivates people to take out insurance policies.
Right.
So for that reason, I think they're going to stand back. Also, you mentioned the Swedish central bank lowering its they call it an overnight rate there.
Yeah, off the air I mentioned that they'd lower their rate down to zero.
That's right.
Their Fed funds rate, their equivalent of the Fed funds rate down to zero. They got no room left.
That's right. I don't think the Federal Reserve wants to get there. They have told us in the past that that wouldn't be a limit on their abilities. They could do other things. They could just purchase bonds and the like, mm-hmm. which would help drive long-term interest rates down, and that's true. But it's also very untested, and central banks don't like to tread on untested ground. They like to
well, actually, pardon me, but actually, Japan has tested that, haven't they?
Yeah,
I mean, it hasn't helped Japan. Of course, Japan's got a lot of other problems.
Exactly. I don't think that you can make a close comparison between
the
U.S.
So you think Japan's not a good indicator?
I think it's a terrible comparison
yeah,
to the U.S.,
okay.
frankly. But nonetheless, I think they want to just, analogous with the word central bank is conservative. I think they want to stay with what's tried and true, and that means they want to reserve what ammo they've got left for a situation where it's truly necessary.
For example, if there were some kind, they need a little room in case for a literal emergency.
That's right. They've used words like a wider fire break to describe their interest in trying to, provide them with a margin of flexibility in the event that, as I mentioned a moment ago, something unforeseen for the worse comes our way. And if nothing else has been learned from the past 2 years, that can happen.
A lot of people are picking, as I mentioned earlier, Richard, a lot of people are picking at the Fed, especially Mr. Greenspan. They're looking at him with regard to the things he's done lately. 5-10 years from now, when he's gone off to other things, will they look back on this era and say, rather than that he didn't do this particular thing right on this particular day, or will they focus more on, wow, we can't believe how well he got us through that?
Oh, I think his reputation is going to be very, very strong indeed. You have to look at the totality of the experience, and really we've seen tremendous changes over the course of his tenure, and the overwhelming majority have been for the good. His calls have been, for the most part, extremely good, and it's always possible for all us Monday morning quarterbacks to say they should have increased interest rates sooner in 1999 or not as much in 2002 or 2003, but these are really quibbles. The larger picture remains solid. The guy's been a terrific central banker. He has made mistakes along the way, and we're going to make note of those things. And I think in all candor, he probably, if you got him at a frank moment, recognize him himself. But who hasn't?
Exactly. Richard, thank you very much for joining us. It's a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time off from your wonderful visit there in Duck, North Carolina. But next time, you'll be back in Cleveland, and we're looking forward to that already.
It's always a pleasure, Jim. Good to talk with you.
Thanks. Richard DeKayser, ladies and gentlemen, with National City Bank. That's nationalcity.com. Check it out when you get a chance, and check out their banks when you get a chance, too. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, because without your courage, hard work, and devotion to your dreams, America would not be the greatest entrepreneurial country in the world. And remember, when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.